Welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and I'm speaking with Mark Potok, spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Centre and editor of the award-winning quarterly investigative journal Intelligence Report and the Hate Watch blog. Previously, he spent almost 20 years as an award-winning reporter at newspapers including USA Today, the Dallas Times Herald and the Miami Herald. And Mark Potok, Robert Mueller, the FBI director, has been put in charge of the investigation by President Obama, looking into the 22-year-old shooter down in Arizona, Jared Loughner, and his possible links to extremist groups. And Mueller said that would continue to be a focus of the investigation. So far, what do you know about these links? Because you know they've already become a political hot potato with conservatives and conservative talk radio and television people going out of their ways to say there's no linkage. On the other hand, there appears to be some linkage.
Well, this is what I see. I looked through, I think, virtually all of the material of this man's that have been made public, and I certainly didn't see anything even suggesting a link to any particular group. There have been reports of, on Fox News reported something about a possible link, people inside DHS are supposedly saying, to an anti-black group called American Renaissance, but I do not think that's true. I've got some information that suggests that link is extremely weak at best. And in any event, in reading through all of Gerald Lee Loughner's materials, I saw nothing that related to race or anti-Semitism or even the issue of immigration. That said, I thought there were some very definite markers, that suggested he would be getting some of his ideas from the radical right. Let me say right off the bat, though, that I think when you read through his material, it is unbelievably discombobulated, and it's very, very clear that indeed the man is mentally ill or has some, real problem in his head. That said, though, there are bits and pieces, real clues, and let me just run through a few of them, if I might.
Go ahead.
He talks, for instance, about the only real currency being currency backed by gold and silver. That really, Ian, is a core idea of the anti-government patriot movement, the so-called militia movement, this concept that gold and silver are unconstitutional, they're not lawful or real money. Loughner talks about that, but in very, odd ways. It's hard to understand what he's saying, but clearly he's saying that, the currency has to be backed by gold and silver. And, this is an idea of the extreme right going back, some 70, 80 years. And, of course, you now hear those ideas even in more ostensibly centrist groups like the Tea Parties, but it's very definitely an idea of the right. More sort of arcane and strange is Loughner talks about the idea of using English grammar to control people or the people, and in fact at one point explicitly mentions the idea of the government controlling people through the use of grammar. That I feel certain. There's really only one person out there putting out this, really bizarre theory, and that is a right-wing conspiracy theorist, a man from Milwaukee by the name of David Wynn Miller, who theorizes just that, the government controls us all through grammar. It's, almost virtually an incomprehensible theory, and the man is, really out there. But he believes things like the government enslaves you at birth by printing your name in all capital letters on your birth certificate. But if you instead use a certain combination of full colons and hyphens in your own proper name, when you write it, you will break the chains of government tyranny. And what's more, you won't have to pay your taxes. So pretty good deal all around. Then Loughner simply goes through a whole bunch of things. He talks about not being able to trust the government. The government uses mind control. A person in a video that's been attributed to him burns a U.S. flag. And so on. That, along with his reading list, seems to me to suggest this idea of kind of the individual against the state, the individual against the totalitarian oppressive state. And I thought that was very much present in his reading list. It's an odd list. It includes, a lot of things like Animal Farm in 1984 by George Orwell, Ayn Rand's book, We the Living, which is very, explicitly about the idea of the individual versus the state. But also things like the Communist Manifesto and Mein Kampf. The idea that the Communist Manifesto is there, of course, has gotten, as you suggested, all the kind of right-wing news sites and bloggers and so on going on about how this guy is really a left-winger, which I think is quite ludicrous. I think that really he sees those books. They're all kind of, they all have a sort of smash the state theme. So it's those sorts of things. You know, I don't think that he was any kind of political thinker. I mean, he's incredibly incoherent. But, you know, I think he had real mental problems, but he did absorb some of these key ideas. And arguably, it's these ideas from the right that cause, you know, he might, who's to say who a person like him might have hurt? You know, could have been his parents, could have been kids at an elementary school, but somehow he selected this target. And it seems to me very likely that all of the rhetoric from the right about the government being evil essentially, you know, may have had something to do with who he targeted.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and we're trying to get an understanding of the very disturbed mind of the assassin or attempted assassin in terms of the shooting the congresswoman in Tucson, Arizona, the 22-year-old Jared Loughner, who I believe shouted out the names of the people before he shot them. I think that's been pretty much established. So, and he had some interaction with her. So there's no question he targeted her. I think that's fairly established. There is, of course, the debate that I'm discussing here with Mark Potok about what influenced this person. And it, one of the things though, that seems to be absurd about the mental gymnastics that a lot of right-wing talk people and Fox and others are going through to dissociate themselves from this guy suggests that these things I don't think are mutually exclusive. He's a crazy guy who was acting alone, and you can't pin any kind of ideology on him because he's too nutty. But what you can make clear, and I think what is clear, is the political environment down there in Tucson and in Arizona, in the state itself, is extremely volatile, extremely toxic, extremely dominated by the right wing. And you have also the ability that anybody, including a nutcase like this guy, can get a concealed weapon that fires an awful lot of bullets very fast. In fact, you can carry concealed weapons into bars, which is seems extraordinary to me. But these are the facts. Now, when you mentioned the DHS memo that Fox News had heard about or got hold of, my understanding was that that was a leak about the use of his computer, as opposed to, because every computer has a history, as opposed to the idea that he was linked to this American Renaissance racist group. They, of course, have denied, saying he doesn't have any, we have no record of him joining us. The internet is such that you don't have to join groups to be influenced by them. You can just visit their pages, surely.
Sure. I think what it actually has to do with was a particular event that he may have noticed on the American Renaissance website. And I really can't talk about it because this is essentially confidential information. But I just think, you know, the idea that he was somehow close to American Renaissance is not supported
sure.
by what I know. But and I don't pretend to have, you know, any kind of absolute knowledge of this.
What about the business that he talks about in terms of the linkage that can be made with this 62-year-old former tool and die welder from Milwaukee, David Wynn Miller, who has this peculiar obsession with language and grammar and has come up with these mathematical formula, which clearly that is what the YouTube video of Loughner's is all about, if you watch it. Now, one of the reporters down there in Tucson I spoke with yesterday said that there was a link to some of this obsession with grammar and people who can't speak English in terms of the environment down there, this anti-Hispanic Latino environment as a result of SB 1070. Do you give that any credence?
Well, I haven't seen any language like that, so I don't know what the reporter you spoke to, you know, had in mind in terms of that. I mean, he talked about grammar. He didn't talk about people with, you know, non-English accents, at least nothing that I've seen. But, you know, look, as a general matter, I think, you know, you're essentially right. And you know, what's been going on today, I've been on a lot of radio shows today, and just as you suggested at the beginning of the program, I mean, there is this kind of pushback from the political right, largely from the right wing of the Republican Party. You know, they feel that they're being unfairly demonized and so on. And, you know, what they're saying, aside from making these silly arguments that this guy was sort of a left-winger, is they're essentially suggesting that there's an equivalency, right? That it's, you know, Olbermann is the same as Glenn Beck. You know, that there are you know, there's irrational and you know, vitriolic language from left and right and so on. And I think that is a very, very shaded characterization of what's objectively happened out there. I mean, I think it's perfectly obvious. Sure. I mean, I can find you, an anarchist in San Francisco who said, Bush should be killed or is a Nazi or something like that. The difference is that the noise from the political right over the last several years has been, coming from Congress people. It's been coming from people with television shows that reach 2 million individuals every night. It's been coming from people like, Rush Limbaugh with his gigantic audience, or Michael Savage, his 8 million radio listeners every week. So it seems to me very different. The vitriol from the right, vastly, it seems to me, outdistances what we've heard from the left, what there is of a sort of hard left out there. So I just don't see it. And I think it's a way, what we hear now is kind of conservatives saying, words don't have any consequence. It's irrelevant, right? I mean, the whole political conversation, the fact, what the sheriff of Pima County said about Arizona being the mecca of prejudice and bigotry. It's all baloney. It's completely irrelevant and has no relationship to this guy because he was mentally ill. And it just seems to me that that's false. Very typically in the kinds of people we look at, it will be a person who is unstable in one way or another mentally who's the first to act on this kind of propaganda. Not always. I would not characterize Timothy McVeigh as mentally ill. I think he was, a very sort of determined and rather evil, kind of political soldier, a genuine terrorist. But think back a year ago, but just about this time last year, last February, a man named Joseph Stack flew his private airplane into an IRS building in Austin and killed himself and also an IRS employee. That guy, too, had these meandering writings. He sounded quite wacky. He was angry at very many things in his life. But there was a theme that ran through all of his writings, and that was the government is evil, and in particular, the federal government has no right to tax us. In his case, it turned out he'd been to a few radical tax protest seminars and so on. But, the point is not that the people who carry these acts out don't have mental problems. The point is that something out there in the environment is helping them to focus their rage on very particular targets.
Well, Mark Potok, it seems that some of the mental gymnastics that Sarah Palin and others are going through to dissociate themselves from this fellow miss the point, in as much as, not one, the victim, Congressman Gifford's own father, when asked, did your daughter have any enemies? He said, yes, the whole Tea Party. And two, the Congresswoman herself, back in March, went on television.
Right.
After her office was vandalized and bricks were thrown through the window and her other office in another part of her district was shot up, she went out of her way to castigate Sarah Palin for putting this target on her to have her knocked off in the election, which almost happened. And as we know, the person that Sarah Palin supported, the Tea Party candidate, Jesse Kelly, offered up at his fundraisers, you could shoot a fully loaded M16 with him. So these are more than atmospherics. These are facts.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, I think it's very interesting that now, some on the right are saying, well, look, Sarah Palin, she's so careful and so responsible. She, today or yesterday scrubbed her sight of those crosshairs over the various districts, including Representative Gifford's district. Well, as you point out, the Congresswoman was on national television last March, I think is sounding very reasonable, and saying that those crosshairs specifically were the kinds of things that put people in danger. And, we heard nothing from the Palin camp. They didn't take those crosshairs down then. Now that we've got a woman in a hospital with, a bullet through her brain, clinging to life, apparently Palin and her people feel that it's kind of bad press to have those things left up on their website, and so down they come. But, at the time when the representative really criticized this, but without calling Palin ugly names, but I think in a very rational, straight-ahead way, said this was bad news, there was no response from the Palin camp.
And, of course, even in that interview itself, NBC's political White House reporter Chuck Todd took the position to Congressman Giffords, saying, well, you can't really associate the people throwing the brick through your window with Sarah Palin. So he was taking the kind of line that a lot of reporters are taking now in sort of defending, particularly on Fox. As you know, there was a pretty contentious interview on Fox with the Pima County Sheriff where they tried to back him into a corner and suggest that he was being irresponsible for saying what he was saying. So even back then, this apologist position was being expressed. And of course, the Congresswoman did not accept that. She said, no, I really believe that Sarah Palin is responsible for stirring up this stuff.
Well, and she's quite right. I mean, I don't know about Sarah Palin, but I mean, if you remember what sparked all of that brick throwing, it was a particular man in Alabama, furious about the health care vote, saying, you know, throw bricks today through Democratic representatives and Democratic Party headquarters offices through their windows. So, you know, and in fact, the attacks occurred around the country. And then, you know, I'm sure you remember that in one case, a propane gas line to a congressman's brother's home, who the assailant apparently thought was the congressman's home, was cut. I mean, you know, it sounded an awful lot like an attempted murder. I mean, the man had three children in the house. Mm.
So, well, just in closing, Mark, do you think that we're running out of time? Do you think that there's going to be an intelligence response to this on the part of the Congress, or are the Republicans in the Congress going to arm themselves because they feel they have to be defended? I mean, where is this going? Because so far the debate has not been following this attempted assassination, has not been in any way illuminating or encouraging.
Yeah, I think it's very much up in the air. I mean, I think, you know, what we've seen today in particular, as this kind of news story play out, is it being played completely as the right wing pushing back. It's not us. It has nothing to do with us. These are evil left wingers or evil Democrats trying to pin this one on us unfairly. You know, of course, we've heard people like John Boehner and the president as well, you know, making calls for people to calm down and so on. And that seems right, you know, but whether that's going to get any traction at all, I think is very much in question because, you know, talking about, say, the bricks that were thrown through people's windows last spring, you know, there were calls back then, weak ones, I have to say, from certain leaders in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party as well, for calming things down, but they really didn't. You know, the same kind of vitriol was out there. And, of course, the sheriff of Pima County is right that Arizona is, if not the Mecca, it is certainly one of the hot spots in this country. I mean, the immigration debate down there has raised the political temperature to a point that I think it's not entirely surprising to see this kind of violence.
I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Mark Potok.
And thank you.
Bye-bye. And hello again, I'm Ian Mars. I was just speaking there with Mark Potok, a spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center and editor of the award-winning quarterly investigative journal Intelligence Report and the Hate Watch blog. Previously, he spent almost 20 years as an award-winning reporter at newspapers including USA Today, the Dallas Time-Herald, and the Miami Herald. Let's take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with a foreign policy expert about how can a gun-crazed society lead the world.